Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where it has been India's day, a phrase that I reckon you should get used to hearing over the next couple of months. I'm Jack Hope, and I'm joined by Max Rowe-Brown for the day show. How are you doing, Max?
Hello, yeah. Feeling a lot more comfortable, I suppose, and familiar with where things are.
Yeah, absolutely. India closed the day with a healthy 175-run lead. Still got Jadeja and Akshar at the crease. We might even get to see all-rounder the England only, Jasprit Bumrah and Mohammad Siraj bat tomorrow. Who knows? 250 could be on the cards and an innings defeat, which would be a bit of a statement. A bit of a statement, I would say, by India. Before we get into the show, I just want to remind people, for maybe the last time, might not be the last time, might be the second last time, to vote for the Cricket Podcast. And you can do that by heading over to the Sports Social Podcast Awards website. That link is in the show notes. Find us, vote for us, and we'll be really happy. Thanks to loads of people who voted at the end of the last show. We got a load of comments in about that. Big love to everyone there. It'd be nice to win something, because it doesn't look like England are going to win.
England are not going to do it, yeah.
Yeah, in India. Max, let's turn our attention to the cricket. What happened on day two?
Well, the first thing that happened on day two, to be fair, was quite good for England, because England finally bowled their off-spinner at the left-hander and he immediately got him out. And we were all there, well, sleeping because it was 4 a.m. But in reality, we were all there thinking, finally, England have worked it out. If only they'd done that, about 15 overs ago. Never mind. They finally worked it out. And we got a couple more wickets. Rohit Sharma was already out. Shubman Gill holed out to Tom Hartley to give him a consolation wicket, I suppose, to go with his ton that he's already amassed. And maybe a glimmer at the time for England, but no. King Legend came in, snuffed out any hope England might have had of restricting India to a modest lead. I suppose, and they just kept coming. Everyone got a start, a few 50s. The only bright spot for England was Ashwin and Jadeja getting confused and Ashwin being run out. That was calamitous and amusing. But then it turned out Akshar Patel's batting at 9, which I have to say is just frankly cheating. Like, that's not allowed. You can't do that. You can't give us Jadeja, Bharat, Ashwin and Akshar. That's not fair. You're supposed to go to South Africa and have a tail that starts at 8 and lose 6 wickets for no runs and give the other team a chance. That's what you're supposed to do. You can't have someone who can actually bat at number 9 when you're already way better than the other team. Come on, sort it out. So yeah, as you said, 421 for 7, 175 run lead. England staring down the barrel of an innings defeat after, you know, we were all so chipper about putting 246 on the board. Looking a bit stupid now. They might reverse 246. They might get 642.
Just wanted to go on record. I did say that I thought India were going to get 400.
You did say that.
They're actually going to get more.
You were right.
They're actually better than I thought they were. So yeah, these shows, Max, can be sometimes a little hard to find the content in. A lot of stuff that kind of you might expect to have happened in this scenario has happened. England spinners have been exposed as maybe not quite as good as England spinners.
Frauds.
India's batters, it turns out, are pretty good at batting in India. We should probably put a bit of effort in to digging a little deeper, though. And should we start with England's bowling? Let's get the negativity out of the way. What did you make of the attack, and where might they have gone wrong? And maybe as a follow-up question to that, you don't have to do it all at once, what could they do differently in the future?
Well, they went wrong in December. Was it December, November, when they picked the squad? That was the first thing they did wrong. I don't think it would have made a huge amount of difference, but I think Liam Dawson is most likely an upgrade on Tom Hartley, release points aside. That theory doesn't seem to be holding much water so far. So, I mean, it's difficult for England, isn't it? Because you've got a 19-year-old who's clearly very talented and England want to nurture, which I think is the right way to go about things, by getting him into the side and giving opportunities. And, you know, he's probably the best option England have, really. I mean, they've decided Matt Parkinson, also Callum Parkinson in the Lions, but they've decided the Parkinsons aren't the way to go. Adil Rashid obviously can't do red ball cricket because his shoulder doesn't work enough. So realistically, Rehan Ahmed is, you know, your leading option. It's just unfortunate that he's 19, very inexperienced, and to go with that, a leg spinner, which is naturally the kind of, you know, the kind of spin that often lacks control when you're just starting out and trying to find your feet in international cricket. Tom Hartley doesn't really have a first-class record to speak of, and he's, you know, coming in and basically doing his best and looking like a left-arm spinner who doesn't have a great record in county championship cricket, trying to bowl against some of the best players that's been in the world. Like, what do you expect is going to happen there? It's just, it's difficult with the tools that England have got to do anything. And then you add on top of that, I don't know what's going on with Jack Leach, but him bowling two overs at a time either suggests there's a problem, or Ben Stokes is trying to be clever or whatever. But, you know, you want your best spinner bowling 15, 20 overs from one end, tying it up, making life difficult. And when England are even robbed of that, when they actually have a genuinely good spinner who has a good record in India and the subcontinent and is skillful and controlled, and you're not able to use him deciding not to use him in that way, it makes it even harder. And that's when you're left with Joe Root being your most dangerous looking option with the ball, which is not the first time we've said it or it's happened, but it is a problem.
Yeah, they did actually talk about Jack Leach after the game. Jeetan Patel came on to the host broadcast of stream and was asked about that. Jack Leach has banged both of his knees. I don't know if he banged them together or whether they've been banged independently.
Was it when he tried to take that catch diving forward and got one in the chops?
Not sure it was then, but at some point he's banged his knees and he doesn't feel up to bowling long spells,
right.
Which is a shame.
That's
for
a problem.
There's an element, I think, of this as a tale of four spinners broken down into two spinners. You've got Leach and Root, who have been to India before and have okay records, both of them. I think Root's bowling talent is slightly overstated by some people, and that he maybe looks as useful as he does in comparison to the people that he's bowling with. I don't think Root is anywhere close to being a really a frontline spinner, but he's got an okay record in India and he bowled well today. And then Leach, similarly, as you said, has got a good record in India and pretty good control over his lengths. And when we have seen people go after him in the past, so I'm thinking Rishabh Pant has a number of times tried to feast on Jack Leach. Generally, we've seen that he's able to stand up to that, and yeah, he might get hit for a few sixes. You know, he might not have a great record against some of the Indian batters, but it doesn't mean his whole game falls apart and he becomes entirely useless. And then you have the other two spinners. And I take what you're saying with Rehan Ahmed and inexperience. And I do think that's a factor for Hartley as well. But their combined figures, 48 overs, 136 runs for three. That
236 runs.
Yeah, yeah. like they're not really offering.
They're not good.
Anything there at all? Like, you know, look at the scorecard. The four spinners divide them into the good and the bad camp. They've both taken three wickets. It's just two of them are offering something that looks like threat or looks like control.
Yeah. I mean, and the other two are going five and over.
Yeah, Root had little spells where he looked genuinely threatening. He had a few. He had a run of like quite close LBWs in a row against
Mikhail Rahul dropped, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Although that, you know, they made a big deal of that on the TV. I feel like that was a relatively difficult chance.
I mean, it's one of those classic ones where you know, unsurprisingly, I'm going to come out in the defending Ben Folkes camp, but it's one of those ones where, you know, you're looking at Ben Folkes and you're like, oh, you know, he's got a chance there, he should be taking that, and you know, maybe a less excellent keeper perhaps might, you know, you might think, well, that's a tough one, you wouldn't expect him to take it, it's a great catch if he takes it. But because Folkes is, you know, so lauded for his skills, when there's a chance like that, you think that he's got a good chance of taking it. So he's sort of a, you know, a victim of his own skill in those situations.
Yeah. Parv has put a really interesting comment in the chat talking about who got the most spin. Joe Root getting 3.6 degrees a turn and Leach a little bit behind on 3.1. They're turning the ball at an amount there that will be threatening. I with Tom Hartley, I hate to say it, but I didn't, release point aside, I don't really see what else he offers. He doesn't have the control of Leach. He doesn't have the turn of any of the other spinners.
He's bowling like a white ball bowler.
And it seems to be virtually incapable of bowling to left-handers as well. There was a little bit of data that came out about his lengths. And I think this is before his final spell. So it's slightly incomplete. 15% of the balls he bowled today were delivered short, which is pretty poor. If you're a left arm spinner, you're basically in the team not to do that. The natural advantage that you have in being able to turn the ball away from right handers is to some extent all you need to be trading on, as long as you can bowl accuracy. Well, it's that and being able to bowl accuracy. They're the reasons that you need to do that. Look, obviously, as it turns out, the Leach injury means that he can't take on the overs. And Jeetan Patel also said that Hartley ends up being the one that picks up the spare overs. So if you're wondering why Stokes did what he did, it seems to be injury related. And that's unfortunate. Do I think it would have made any difference, really, if Leach had bowled an extra 10 overs and Hartley hadn't? Well, I mean, the answer is yes. I think India would have got 30 less runs, but yeah, I don't.
With 390 for eight instead of 420.
Yeah,
maybe that, but
I think, like, really in the scheme of who's going to win this Test match, I think probably not. I'd be interested in your thoughts on Stokes's captaincy as well. I've got one more stat on false shot percentages for spinners, but we'll hear your thoughts on Stokes's captaincy, because he came under a little bit of criticism. Part of it I think you can exonerate him for, knowing now that Leach was injured, but it wasn't a masterclass, I think is a diplomatic way of putting it.
No, I don't think, I mean, we spoke about yesterday's points, didn't we, where they just basically sent Tom Hartley to the slaughterhouse against Jaiswal, and then, you know, today, as soon as Root bowled against him, he nabbed a wicket, and I just think he was, I don't know, there wasn't enough attempts to stop India scoring runs, as far as I could tell. Like, obviously, when things aren't going that well, like Jack Leach, you know, you can't bowl Jack Leach in concerted spells, and you know, basically you don't have the tools that you need, possibly because your selection isn't right, definitely because your selection isn't right. Then you need to think about, you know, what are your other options? Like trying to maybe tie things up, make things a bit difficult. I think it was, you know, it was just too easy for Jadeja in particular to just rotate the strike, take boundaries. So I think there's definitely criticism to be leveled there, but I do have a lot of sympathy in the fact that there's only so much you can do. Like, even if you had put some different plans in place, like the number of times his spinners just bowled a bad ball that was going to be hit for a boundary unless you had everyone back anyway, is kind of, you know, kind of makes it difficult, if not impossible, to actually implement some sort of plan like that. Well, so I do have a bit of sympathy, but yeah, I mean, there was definitely, you know, could have been a bit more thought about it. I think it was a bit too easy.
If you look at the 6 wickets that fell today, it was 6, wasn't it? Yeah, the 6 wickets that fell today, it's just to compound that point, I think it's only Root's wickets that look at all conventional
wickets,
for a test match. Yeah, like Root probably beats Jaiswal in the flights early in the day. Jaiswal, feeling confident from yesterday, gets one that does a bit from the pitch. He pops a little catch back. That happens. And then there's the LBW, which where it kept low. Like they look like conventional test match wickets. You know, KL Rahul is out pulling a half cracker to deep mid wicket. Shreyas Iyer slog sweeps on down the throat of deep square leg. It's they're not normal test match wickets.
No,
and I
35 overs in a one day game wickets.
Yeah. It was like that, and so I can see what you're saying about, you know, I can see why you're asking, like, what is Stokes to do, and the answer is it's quite difficult. If you want to know that false shot stat, and I think it ties in quite nicely here. Again, this is a little bit before the end of play, so the percentages might have changed somewhat. From worst to first, Jack Leach 10.1% false shots against him, Rayan Ahmed 12.2, Tom Hartley 12.3, and Joe Root 27.9. So you can see that Root actually is bowling basically the most threatening balls. The Leach one's an interesting one. I think that when we're talking false shots, it's worth bearing in mind thinking about what the batters are trying to do against the bowler as well. Against Jack Leach, they're scoring at 2.5 and over and being very, very careful. Against the other two, they're scoring at 5 and over and playing a lot of shots. So for them to all be in that category, but one of them is an economy rate 2 runs or 2.5 runs lower than the others, is indicative that two of them have bowled pretty badly. I don't think you can bowl in a test match with the lack of control that either of them had, really, unless you're bowling a shit ton of miracle balls.
Which they're not.
Which is sort of what Root's going for, to be honest. Like, Root's always trying something. But he also bowls quite a lot of poor deliveries if you watch where they're bouncing or not bouncing sometimes. So yeah, England's attack, not great. Another thing, just to round off part one, Max, over rate wasn't great again.
No, they failed to get the overs in. How many overs? Mark Wood bowled 13 overs over these 2 days, and they haven't bowled the overs for the day. That is criminal. That is an absolute disgrace. That is an absolute disgrace. Like, there's no other way of putting it. I know they had to go and fetch the ball from the car park a few times, but like, it doesn't take that long, does it?
Yeah. I also think, on the back of today's performance, that my Liam Dawson call-up theory is... I said 40% yesterday, which maybe was a bit much. Maybe it should have been 30%.
Maybe
yesterday.
It is now 40%.
Now 40%, yeah. I think that it's a serious option. But, I mean, especially if there's a fitness risk for Leach. Like, they cannot, I'm afraid, be going into a test match with Tom Hartley as the only left-arm finger spin option.
Just like,
Or with Joe Root as the
Second.
Like, if you don't know who Dawson is as well, and there'll be Indian listeners here who don't. The guy took 48 wickets at 20 in England in the Championship last year and also scored 840 runs, averaging 40. Like, he's a mature cricketer, I think early 30s, played a little bit with England, but not that much. You'd think he'd be, you know, perhaps not ideal for these conditions. Maybe you would like him to be 6 inches taller, but the skills that he's bringing to the table are greater than the skills that the two less good spinners are bringing to the table here. And that's really what it comes down to. England's bowlers massively shown up overall because of a lack of skill. Like, there's no skill in terms of accuracy. There's no skill in terms of the amount they're spinning the ball. And there's no skill really in terms of guile. You know, Root's probably got the third one, and maybe he can give it a little bit of a rip as well. But you would, and like, I would really impress this upon people. Like, Root is not a frontline bowler. For him to be the most threatening guy in your attack, either it's extremely weird conditions, and I wouldn't say that they were, or the other bowlers just aren't really up to the mark. So,
yeah. And, you know, Liam Dawson plays his county cricket somewhere where spin, you know, is worth bowling. Like, there is stuff there for the spinners to extract. So, you know, it's not like, you know, someone who plays cricket at, you know, the Oval or Edgbaston, and they're, you know, they're there to, like, hold stuff up. Like, Liam Dawson is an attacking option as a spinner when he plays for his county. So there's, you know, there's that to think about as well. But, yeah, no, I'm going to round off part one with a prediction, Jack. I think by the end of the series, when England are 4-0 down, we are going to see an over of James Anderson bowling left arm spin, just for the memes.
That was great. I'll get you to explain that story as we kick off part two, and we'll be focusing a little more on India's batting. Just before we do that, I want to say a big thank you to all our Patreons, the real heroes behind the podcast. If you would like to become a Patreon and get access to a few bonus bits, you can do that by heading over to patreon.com/thecricketpod. We're going to take a break. We will come back. Max will tell you about Anderson bowling spin, and we'll talk about, you know, batting and how India are quite good at it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Cricket Podcast. Max, just before we broke up, I said you were going to talk about James Anderson bowling spin. Do you want to explain that really briefly and justify why it wasn't just a nutcase thing to say?
Yeah. Well, yeah, very, very. Like, he bowls it a bit in the nets sometimes, James Anderson. He's been working on his left arm spin for years. He's always talking about it in interviews about how he reckons he's a decent left arm spinner. And there was a shot of him getting some pointers from Jack Leach today when they were all warming up, and he was going through the motions. It looked like it was coming out quite nicely, actually. I have to say I think you know, I think he looked like he could actually bowl an over of left arm spin and it wouldn't be a total disaster. So it's the kind of, I just think it'd be funny, wouldn't it? 41 year old Jimmy, he's on his tour of India, I assume for the last time. It's all been a disaster, so why not? Let's have some light-hearted fun and see what James Anderson's spin actually looks like, because he backs it, so why not?
We had one other question on our last point from Beige Cream in the chat as well, who said, is there an issue between Dawson and the ECB? And I think basically there is a little bit. So Dawson doesn't have a central contract, which means that he's free to pursue other cricketing opportunities like the SA20, where he's being paid handsomely. And England seem reluctant to match or exceed the pay he would be getting in the SA20 to get him to come to this India series. And or maybe Dawson thinks that the career opportunity playing in the SA20 is greater than the career opportunities he would gain from playing for England, even if he was remunerated. There is, the SA20 does finish during this test series, and so there is the possibility that he could fly in as an emergency replacement. I think the question is whether England will press that button, whether they'll be confident enough to do that, and actually, yeah, whether he's in an, you know, the right frame of mind or is interested, to be frank, in flying out himself. Max, India's batters. This is the first time since 2003 a top seven against England have all got more than 35 runs. It was a collective effort, wasn't it? And it basically wore England down through the day.
Yeah, I mean, it was really relentless, really. It was probably how I'd describe it. The only blot on the copybook, you'd have to say, is that no one's got 100, because, I mean, Jaiswal had one in the bag. Kale Rahul, the drop aside, probably had one in the bag before holding out. And England could be, you know, under the pump even more, really, than they are. Because as we spoke about before the break, some of those wickets were just, you know, people holding out and getting a bit unlucky or playing a poor shot. So they could be even further in front, India, which is a painful thing to even imagine. But you have to give them a lot of credit for putting the pressure on England's bowlers. They basically carried on where they left off yesterday, where, you know, Jaiswal led the charge with depositing Tom Hartley in the first over, and they kept up the, you know, maybe not an onslaught, because things did slow down towards the end of the day, as sort of, I guess, mainly when Joe Root sort of coming on and trying to control things a bit. But certainly, you know, to start with, they kept the pressure on, they kept the boot on England's neck and took the game away from them and never really looked troubled. It was a bit of a clinic, really. You know, Jadeja mixing up the aggression off the spinners as well. Ashwin's the only disappointment, isn't it? But I think someone in the chat said maybe he's just keeping himself fresh for the bowling effort while Axar and Jadeja knacker themselves out with the bat, which I like. He just wants the wickets.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it was quite a funny run out. And I think he was sold a little short by Jadeja.
Just a bit, yeah.
It was lucky for Jadeja, I think, that he batted for the rest of the day and gave Ashwin just a little bit of time to cool off after that. I think relentless is a good word for it. And I thought, like, tactically quite spot on as well, in terms of which bowlers they went after and why. And we've talked in part one about the big differentiation between England spinners that we thought bowled well and those who didn't. And I think the Indian batters, to their immense credit, recognised that and were able to take down Hartley and Rehan Ahmed fairly effortlessly, you would say. Like, it was
them to bowl a short one and hit it for four.
Well, exactly. It was shooting fish in a barrel. They didn't have to manufacture too many shots to do that. And again, to India's credit, when in some rare instances Rehan Ahmed or Hartley did settle down a little bit, suddenly you saw Jadeja coming down the wicket, or even in the last over of the day, Akshar Patel, you know, plonking a couple of sixes, just to make sure that nobody got too comfortable or settled in at all from an England point of view. As you say, and it was talked a lot about on, I mean, the commentary today, abysmal. Just want to make sure.
I was really hoping it was so close, wasn't it? Well, there was tension between Peterson and Gavaskar. There was about to be an argument about the pitch, and they were told to stop, but it was, I don't know, it nearly went. It was almost.
Yeah.
Almost,
well, I mean, I think Gavaskar is maybe the most one-eyed commentator in world cricket, and probably hasn't been right and about an opinion on the game for a decade. And Kevin Peterson is maybe the most arrogant commentator in world cricket, who similarly has, you know, been right about an opinion on cricket, probably back to the 2005 Ashes. So that was always going to cause friction. Those two being in the commentary box. But what I was going to say is, it was brought up on comms that maybe India could have had someone kick on and score a few more runs. And I think in my original stat about 30, nobody getting the 35 or more runs, I think I meant 20 or more runs. I don't know where the 35 came from. I think that was Shreyas Iyer's score. So confused that one a little bit, but just to correct that for the record. And that might be true, Max. Like, it from an India point of view, I would say this is an 8 out of 10 performance. And it's a little bit scary that, you know, they could be 420 for five in a slightly different world.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like KL Rahul 86, you're looking at saying probably should have got a ton. But if everyone else gets at least 20, it doesn't really matter, does it? You know, they've got the extra runs that they've got, those extra 20 that would have got you the 100. Like, the team effort is obviously more important. 100's just a random number that someone made up as something you should aim for, and makes people go all selfish and weird. So actually, I quite like the team of not not getting 100. Maybe there's a shout for highest score without a team getting 100. Is that on the cards? It's got to be up there somewhere, isn't it? If Akshar gets to 90 odd and Jadeja just blocks out for 20 overs.
I think that would be interesting. I don't know. Maybe someone in the chat can let us know. I'm sure that's a stat that is out there, but I'm not going to be quick enough on Stats Guru, and there's only two of us, so I can't just go quiet for 30 seconds to search for that. It's a possibility. I have a feeling that Jadeja will get 100 probably in the first 30 minutes of tomorrow's play. But you never know. Like maybe Joe Root will nab another one really, really early in proceedings. Well batted, India. Mm-hmm. Max, is there anything else that we need to cover from this match?
Well, I mean, possibly not from this match. I mean, it's over and it's all dead. England, probably their goal will be make India put their pads on again. That's probably about as much as they could possibly dream for. But they, one of the things they were showing on the on the TV coverage was the average of England's lineup in second innings in India. And if you add them all up, doesn't get to 175, so I think they're in a spot of bother. I think it might be over tomorrow.
I do think that that's got something to do with the 2021 tour, where
it does, of course.
If you were batting in the second innings, you were you were screwed.
And Ben Duckett's included that with his average of zero from one innings. So like,
I just on that pitch thing was what I. Maybe didn't hear that. Was Peterson saying that he thought it wasn't a very good wicket?
Peterson was saying it spun too much for a day one pitch, and
it did spin a lot.
And Grass was like, you can't come to India and expect the ball not to turn. You know, it's not like the ball was just, you know, keeping low or exploding. And Kevin Peterson was like, of course you expect it to turn, but like Jadeja's first ball ragged square. They were both basically wrong, I think.
Yeah, no,
they were both arguing different things, and they were both wrong, which is about what you'd expect. Like, it turned a little bit more than you might expect on a day one pitch, but I think the pitch is actually like pretty decent. You can see like from England's bowlers, when they don't have the skill to make it turn loads, it isn't turning. Like, it's turning a bit, but it's not like, you know, it's uncontrollable, because you can see how comfortable India's batters have been. So, you know, and that's on day two. So I don't think we should even be bothering to talk about it. It's annoying that they even had that argument, but there are a couple that kept low, and that's going to be another concern for England trying to get 170, well, more than 175.
I think it's fair to say it's not a 5-day test match pitch, but that's not necessarily a problem. And I don't have an issue with that. And I think actually we were talking about England's batting yesterday and how they put up 190 for 8 against India spinners, which would be above their home bowling averages. So, you know, in other words, England have outperformed what you would expect to happen with Ashwin and Jadeja, which suggests that either England batted really, really well. and, you know, they probably batted
they did well, or
it was maybe a slightly easier pitch than we have seen in recent times in India, and I'd probably be in that camp.
And what I would say is I much prefer this kind of pitch than some of the ones you could get, maybe 20 years ago, where literally it was like if you won the toss, then there was no point watching the rest of the game because you batted forever, and then you couldn't bat afterwards. So this, I definitely prefer this.
Our hope, wasn't it, in the preview show, was that we would have a good amount of cricket to see on day three. And we are. England should be able to take this game to day four if they
bat properly.
Maybe that's not the wrong way to look at it. If England applied themselves to doing it, they could get this match to day four quite easily. Now, England will probably be quite aggressive and try and do something wacky, and that might mean that they end up being bowled out for 120 by 11 o'clock UK time tomorrow. But
also fine, because they're not going to draw this game, are they? So they might as well try and do something to win it.
But that would be because of England's tactics. I find it unlikely to believe that if England decided they wanted to score at 3 and over for as long as possible, that their innings would last 40 overs or something like that. I think it's a pretty good, pretty decent Test match wicket, I would say. Like, if you look at those two scores, 267 runs in the first. Why do I keep doing that? 667 runs scored for 17 wickets in the first innings. The away team has got a decent score, so it's not just the home team piling on there.
Nothing
to worry about, KP. Yeah. But then Sunil Gavaskar getting on his high horse, also ridiculous given some stuff. And he actually admitted at one point, which was really quite funny, that as an Indian, I will just be biased. It's like, well, that's not your fucking job, mate. Was it him going on about, no, or was this Ravi Shastri going on about reviews reloading and when the new ball gets caught?
I think it was someone, one of them.
And Kevin O'Brien was on comms, I think, at the same time, getting it wrong.
I mean, Harsha Bogal at one point went on a 10-minute explanation of how when you bowl the ball from your hand, it's slower after it hits the pitch, and by the time it gets to the batter, the pace of the ball was lower than when he released it because of friction and air resistance.
We don't play in space.
Like, that was vintage. That was vintage parody Bogal. Love it.
Cool. We had one question in from Twitter, or one that I'm going to read out from Menace. He says, if Gill was 6 inches shorter and looked like Prithvi Shaw, would he get as many chances as he is getting? You can answer that one, Max.
it's funny. I do think Shubman Gill was a better player, and he's a prodigy, isn't he? So I think he probably still would, but I do think Prithvi Shaw's build counts against him, and it should, because he needs to go to the gym. He's a fucking professional sportsman, man. Come on.
Cool. Final thing I want to say, I'm a big fan of KS Barrett. I think he looks cool. I like his earring. Yep. I like his poise. So let's have some more KS Barrett. I like his wicket keeping. And I think that's a good note on which to leave things. If you're watching on YouTube, we've got another day with 500 people. We've got Lara right now, 501.
Love it.
Do hit like and subscribe. It helps the podcast grow. We'll be doing loads more content. We might not, we should say this now, we might not be podcasting tomorrow because Ross is at a wedding, and Ross, Max and I have a football match that kicks off at 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. UK time. If England do fall in a heap, we'll squeeze something in before we head off. So, watch this space. But we will be back on Sunday 100%. So that's why you need to click subscribe, because you'll get a notification. And similarly, if you're on Apple, what's the other one? Spotify, Acast, Pocket Pods, Google Podcasts. That one's gone. Amazon. I think it's on Amazon. One of the audio platforms, hit subscribe there. And finally, vote for the Cricket Podcast in the Sports Podcast Awards. You can find the link in the show notes, so go over and do that now. We'll love you forever if you do that. So cheers, everyone. Goodbye, and we're out.
Thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.